Heavenly Father, right now we come to you on this Shabbat, giving you your praise, your honor, worshiping with your children, praising you. Father God, right now I ask that you use your vessel and speak to me and speak your word to your people, Father God. I put away all pride, I put away all any personal gain, and I want you to get the glory from this message. In Yeshua's name I pray, amen. Amen. Well, he got me again, y'all. All right, so we're going to knock this out. All right, so we're going to do a recap. All right, so we're going to come back from the new moons, and we're coming from the last lesson he had. All right, so let's recall some things. All right, so the first thing I want to recall is this. I am an adult son, an heir with a message from the Father to his creation. Do you guys remember that? You sure?
Yeah.
All right. The next thing he brought up. I am a warrior and a prince conditioned to wage war against all untruth. Now, why do I need to be a warrior or a prince waging war against untruth? What? Where is the untruth coming from? He says the adversary, but, you know, we lie on the devil too much. Within ourselves, we speak the biggest untruth, right? It's within us. It's that carnal nature that's in us. That untruth is the foundation or the heart from it. All right? Also, fear keeps us from being the new person inside of me that I do not know exists. Also, he expects me to witness love, trust, and what? Hope. In the faces of what? Hate? What else? What else is going to get in the way?
Fear.
How about doubt and evil? All right? All right, so let's back it up. Let's go back. Proclamations. What is a proclamation? Can anyone tell me what a proclamation is? He said, it's more than a decoration. It's that next step. A verbal announcement. Standing up. All right, let me give you the author's definition. All right. The author's definition is a public or official announcement concerning matters of great importance. All right. So I'm going to make a declaration I want you guys to repeat with me. All right. I say, will the real believers stand up? Again, will the real believers stand up?
Will the real believers stand up?
All right, now let's look around. We have some people sitting down. But that's all right, though. And then we have some people that's standing up, right? Both parties have just made a declaration, right? You can sit down. Both parties made a declaration. But what is the problem, all right? What is the biggest issue that we're facing in the kingdom today? The actions, that's a problem. Proclamation, Father. How about an identity crisis? An identity crisis. We don't know who we are. Right? If we're real believers, that means we're born again, born from above, right? So what's in us? We have the Holy Spirit in us, right? And so, by that Spirit being us, we've been sealed until what? Redemption. And so, by me having that Holy Spirit and that sealment, I'm a part of a kingdom. And I'm not just a part of the kingdom. I'm what to the kingdom? I'm an heir. So, what is an heir? When you hear something, heir, what benefits? What does an heir possess? Everything the king. We're equal heirs. And we possess everything that our Father, that Yeshua has, and yet we walk around here with an identity crisis. We don't know. We don't know. We walk around defeated. We walk around thinking we have to beg, that we lack, not knowing who we are. That's going to come back to us. All right? I'm going to come back to that. All right. It says what? Once we know who we are, we can act accordingly. Right? Because if my dad was the king, and the king has all power, What does that tell me? I have all that power as well. But I have to be able to, I have to know I have that power to be able to enforce that power or put that power into action. All right? So, without that understanding that says, without the taproot, without that, our taproots dry up, hate, doubt, and evil will take over. All right? So how do I avoid this trap? Very easy. I must constantly renew my mind, my heart, and remember who we belong to. All right? Let's read the first scripture.
James 1:22-25. Don't deceive yourselves by only hearing what the word says, but do it. For whoever hears the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, who looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what he looks like.
And what does that mean to you? When you hear that or when you read that, what does that say to you?
Don't just be a hearer.
Don't be a hearer, identity. Well, the question I'm going to ask you today is, what does the Spirit want from WOCI today? All right, so when I was thinking about that, when I was getting this together, I started thinking about, some of you may know, an NFL player named Marshawn Lynch. All right, Marshawn Lynch is, I'm going to break it down for you non-football people. All right, Marshawn Lynch is an NFL running back. All right, he played for the Seattle Seahawks when they played in the Super Bowl. And Marshawn, he's a great player. All right, however, he doesn't talk much. And he got in trouble one year right during the Super Bowl time because everybody knows, you got media people from all over the world wanting to interview and talk to him. And he wouldn't talk to the media. So he got in trouble. And then his famous quote was, "I don't do much talking. I'm about that action, boss." That's what he told me. He said, "I don't have to talk. I'm about that action, boss." And so what is the Spirit talking to us and telling us today? It's time to be about that action, boss. All right? He wants us to be about that action. Why? When I was coming up, when people were talking, we had a saying, you need to quit bumping your gums. Bumping your gums. Have anybody heard that before? Bumping your gums? Bumping your gums means you talking a whole lot of nothing with no actions to back it up. And that's what the Spirit is telling us. We've been talking a whole lot of talk. We've been bumping our gums. But we're not backing it up with any actions. Right, what kind of actions? What action are we talking about? All right, what are the actions?
Trust.
All right, we're believers, right? We have that Holy Spirit in us, right? So we have what kind of nature that's in us?
Divine.
A divine nature, a sanctified nature. However, a lot of our actions come out of our what nature? Our unregenerate or our what? Oh, we know it as the what? Our carnal nature, right? And the Spirit is telling us it's time to stop. It's time to stop doing things out of your carnal nature and start tapping into your identity and do it out of your divine nature. All right? I said, so what actions is it referring to? I said, we are constantly told to renew, right? We have Shabbats where we're supposed to be renewed, right? We have new moons where we get our new start. All right, we have our festivals. All right, we are to constantly renew our minds so that we are not forgetting our identity. All right, it is important to hold fast to our identity in Yeshua because the Spirit wants us to surrender our fearful carnal nature and to embrace it and exchange our sanctified nature. All right, let's move on.
We should be Romans 12:2.
In other words, do not let yourselves be conformed to the standards of the Olam Hazeh. Instead, keep letting yourselves be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you will know what God wants and will agree that what He wants is good, satisfying, and able to succeed.
All right, so I'm saying you go back and it says, do not let yourself be conformed. And it says, instead, do what comes after the word instead?
Keep.
So what would that tell us if he has to remind us to keep?
We're not keeping it. We're not doing it.
We stop at times, right? And then when we stop, it's like pushing a ball up a hill, right? Or pushing a big giant ball up a hill. And as long as I'm moving, the momentum is going, that ball is going to keep moving. But the second I stop, my momentum stops, what happens? That ball, that gravity is going to start bringing that ball back and back and back. So we can't never stop renewing our mind, because that carnal nature, you still have some carnal in you. And that sucker wants to grow, and he wants to come out. And if we don't continue to suppress him by the word, he will take over. And so we have to keep letting our minds be transformed. All right. Remember, we are a new what? A new creation. All right. So we should be able, when people see us, they should be able to identify that new creation. That carnal man should not be who they see. All right. We have to know our identity and live in that identity. All right. When did he remind us of this? James 2.
James 2, 14 to 17. What good is it, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no actions to prove it? Is such faith able to save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and someone says to him, Shalom, keep warm and eat healthy and eat hearty, without giving him what he needs, what good does it do? Thus, faith by itself, unaccompanied by actions, is dead.
That's that bumping them gums again, right? Talking loud, doing nothing. We've also been told action speaks louder than what?
Words.
Right, actions. So the scripture tells us you can say all the things you want. If you don't have any actions to follow, suppose back in that scripture they're talking about feeding them. Freddie, tell me he's hungry. Freddie, I feel you, my brother. I sure hope you, I'm going to pray that you get you something to eat. And I got Boo Boo's barbecue in the refrigerator. You know, I got a whole refrigerator full of Boo Boo's barbecue, but I'm going to pray for Freddie that he gets his belly full, right? Well, what nature am I working out of right there? That's the carnal nature. If he was my brother,
what good does that do?
I'm supposed to give, especially when I have plenty, right?
Even Gentiles do that.
I'm going to throw you a little bit of Boo Boo's, right? All right, so why is it important that we continue to verbally profess our proclamation? So why do I have to say it? What's the point of me saying it? Why do I have to say it? Witnesses? Why should I say it, Sharon? Why do I have to say it all the time? Why do I have to continue to profess my proclamation? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What was that song? Encourage yourself. Sometimes you have to speak it and speak it and speak it, right? It says what? It helps us to reinforce our identity by not forgetting who we are. Remember, my deal is this. The first time I hear something, the first time you hear something, you don't necessarily believe it the first time. And you have to repeat it over. We call it self-talk. And sometimes you have to say it over and over and over. And eventually, your spirit starts to push that soul. And then that soul starts to move that body. And then your actions start to reflect what's really in you. But no one believes, well, I'm going to say no one, but not many is going to believe initially. You know, when we didn't get saved, we heard the word and got saved at that minute. Nobody did. It was a process. And we didn't hear just one sermon. We heard the word over. We heard the word over and over and over again. And eventually that word started breaking down that heart. All right? Let's move on. All
let me ask you this. So we talked about proclamations, right? So what are proclamations again? Something very important. All right, and what is the Spirit asking us to do today?
Make new proclamations.
Be about them actions, boss. you can keep the boss, but be about them actions. Now those actions have to come from a what? A divine nature, our sanctified nature. All right, we have to put the carnal aside, lay that carnal nature aside, and we have to move and live and work and do everything within that natural, spiritual, divine nature. All right, so let me ask you this. So how has the enemy gotten us to pervert our proclamations? Think about a proclamation that's been in the Word that's been perverted. She said, I'm a sinner saved by grace. That could be one. What's another one? What's another one you hear a lot?
We all fall short of the glory.
What'd you say? Yeah, cleaning that. Yeah, that ain't even in the Bible. Folks made that one up, made it sound good. But how about you talk to the certain people and they tell you name it and claim it. All you got to do is believe, and you will receive anything you want. You can have. Now we all know that's a lie, right? Because I've been wanting some millions in a long time, and I'm still broke. The name and claim it, but people use that to pervert Yahweh's truth. All right? Let's go with Mark 11.
Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, trust that you are receiving it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive your offenses.
Now see, what was going on at this time, the disciples were just coming back with Yeshua, and they had just passed that tree, that fig tree that Yeshua had cursed. And so they saw magic. Hey, I saw this man speak to this tree, and this tree was dead. Shoot, how can I do that? You know, I want that magical power. And so what Yeshua was explaining to him, it's not about magical power, it's about trust. Your trust. You just have to have enough trust. But the key to it is this. It's not my trust or the trust in my desires is what accomplished that quote-unquote miracle. Where does the trust have to be rooted in?
In his will.
In his will. In his will. Let's go to James. I think this clears it up.
Or you pray and don't receive because you pray with the wrong motive. That of wanting to indulge your own desires.
So a lot of people wonder, well, I thought I had to do with naming and claiming. Yeah. No, you're coming from a selfish desire, a selfish motive, so to speak, of course, if it's not in the Father's will, he's not going to grant you. Why? He's a loving Father, right? Because we can desire some things that may not necessarily be helpful or that may be harmful for us, right? So he knows what to allow us to have and what not to give us. So it doesn't matter how much you pray and fast and all that other good stuff. If it ain't in his will, it's not going to come to life. And it's just that serious. I'm serious. You see some people go hard. I mean, they go hard with it and thinking the harder they go that the Spirit is going to grant them they petition, but that's not how it works. He tells you right there. If it's not in his will, and if it's coming out of the selfish desires, it's not happening. All right? So how should we interpret Mark 11:24? It says, our prayers are often motivated by our own interests and desires. But Yeshua prayed that Yahweh's interest in mind, when Yeshua prayed, it was only with Yahweh's interest in mind. We should express our desires, yes. You know, Yahweh, he knows everything anyway, right? So it's nothing wrong to tell him, Father, this is what I want. There's nothing wrong with expressing your desires. However, you must always come back to what? Your will be done.
Amen.
Not my will, but your will be done. All right? So we talked about these actions, right? What is going to drive my actions? What is going to drive my actions? What's going to motivate me? What is going to give me the power, the strength to drive my actions? You say my heart. What you say, Perry? Huh? Your trust. Bam. See, Perry, me and Perry are on the same page. Your trust. Bottom line, no. That's what the Father is asking for us. Trust. We need a greater level of trust. Wow. We're coming to a period where without trust, we're in trouble. And so what the Spirit needs for us is a greater level of trust. Let's go Hebrews 1.
Trusting is being confident of what we hope for, convinced about things we do not see.
Confidence. You know, we call it on the football field, the swag. All right? Get you some swag. I got swag in my Father. I know it's good. I trust him. I don't understand it. I can't see it. I mean, it makes no sense. But I have that swag in my Father. I have that confidence in him. All right? Let's go on to the next one. So, understand this. So, in Hebrews, we went from, back it up. So, from verses 3 through 5, go ahead. Uh-huh. Absolutely. I trust that the words that I'm speaking are coming from my heart, and if I trust what he told me, if I speak it and it's in his will, I can stand on the promise even though I can't see it. That's what it's up. So that's completely different from naming it and claiming it. Naming it, claiming it is a selfish thing, a prideful thing. Walking in his truth, and his truth, it's all about my confidence in my Father. So I know we read Hebrews. It was part of the our daily reading. So I know everybody know what I'm about to say, right? Y'all, everybody good, right? We read it. Yes, I know. Mm-hmm. All right, so verses 3 to 5, it started off with what? I'll put you on the spot, huh? Hebrews 1, 3, and 5. I mean, Hebrews 3 and 5, how did it start off? By trust. By trust. By trust. Then he took a break. He took a break, then he went to Hebrews 6. Go ahead.
And without trusting, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to God, because whoever approaches him must trust that he does exist and that he becomes a rewarder to those who seek him out.
So it's clear, right? If I don't trust him, I can't what?
Please.
All right, just like, you know, you hear people say, I love God, but what does Yahweh say? If you love me, you do what?
Keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments. You know, so that's the proclamation. I can say it. I love him. I love him. I love him. But if my actions don't show that, I'm just doing what? What's our word, earlier word?
Bumping gums.
I'm bumping my gums. I'm bumping my gums if my actions do not reflect my words. Amen. All right, and it's time for us to be about that what?
Action.
About them actions, boss. There it is. Got to be about that actions. All right, so then you go on to verses 8 through 11. It starts off with what? By trust. Now, he's talking about a different story. He's talking about Noah. He's talking about Abraham. He's talking about all these individuals that, by trust, he was able to bless them. He was able to do wonderful things simply because of their trust. And their trust was that real trust that produced what?
Actions.
So this was trust that you could see through actions. All right? Then it goes 17 to 31. Started off every verse. How? By trust. By trust. By trust. It's all. It was a reoccurring statement. By trust. By trust. So he was trying to beat that point into our mind. By trust is the only way, because he told us in 6, without it, it's impossible to please him. I can't please him without it. So everything starts with by trust. That's what's going to drive my actions, is my trust. Because if I don't trust him, I'm not going to do it. You're not going to do it. You're only going to be doing what? Bumping your gums. All right. So I went ahead. What was the danger of not trusting? We already read it. The danger of not trusting is you disqualify yourself from the team and from your God. Why? In any team sport, the biggest thing you have to have with a teammate is trust. Right? If I line down next to you and then my job is to take on two people, I'm giving up my body, sacrificing my body against these two men, and you're supposed to come right behind me and make the play, and then you go that way after these two didn't beat me up, I can't trust you. I don't want to sacrifice my body anymore. Because I can't trust you're going to be in the position that you're supposed to be in. You're going to get me hurt. Well, I'm going to get hurt regardless, but you're going to get me hurt for no reason. No. No. And that's the whole point of being able to trust. I have to trust that you're going to do your job. You're going to do your job. On football, you have 11 people. I have to trust that all 11 people, first of all, know their job, know their role, and they're going to execute their role when it's time to execute their role. And without that, when you don't have that, you have a dysfunctional team. You have a team that is not going to be successful if they can't trust one another and depend upon one another. So that's what the Spirit is talking to us. We have to be able to trust one another. And, oh, and we're building these teams. And trust me, I know y'all are just like me. I know you open up your email and you be like, not another step. He didn't hit me up with another step. God, how many more steps has we got to do? Right. You know, we have lost our mind with these steps. But we understand that it's a method to this madness, right? And I believe that it's part of, it's just a trust thing. Are we going to trust one another to get these steps? And Lord knows step eight should be coming on the way, you know, your brother Jill. Trust. We're going to trust that he don't send no more steps. All right. What else must I realize about trusting? It is not always going to be painless and peaceful. So there's another false doctrine going on. You know, once you join the kingdom, everything is all good. You know, Yeshua's going to take care of you. All your troubles, all your worries, all that's going to be gone. We all know that's a lie. That's untrue. All right, let's prove it. Ready?
Hebrews 11:35-37. Women received back their dead resurrected. Other people were stretched on the rack and beaten to death, refusing to be ransomed so that they would gain a better resurrection. Others underwent the trials of being mocked and whipped, then chained and imprisoned.
So these are individuals that were believers and that were trusting that this Messiah was going to save them. And they trust all the way to what? Some of them to what? Death. And never received that promise. So if I don't have trust and I see this going on, to others that quote-unquote trust him, how am I going to react and respond? If my trust is shaky in the beginning anyway, and I see all this going on, wait a minute, y'all told me it was going to be all good when I joined this Jesus squad. What is going on? How are you going to respond? So who, us as remnants, and people are going to come to us, how do we respond to those individuals? To those individuals that see this, that was on the fence in the first place, but the Spirit is going to use us. That's why we're here. He's going to use us because they've been given a religion, this feel-good religion, this religion that they told was going to heal everything, take care of everything, punish everything, and we all know that that's not true. We all know it's going to crack. It's going to fall. And then where are they going to run to for truth?
You.
Us. But the only way they're going to run to us, the only way that we're going to look any different from them is what? Our actions. Our actions. Because why? We're going to be standing bold when all this craziness, we're going to stand bold because we know it's coming. We know what's coming. And we've been training. We've been going through the process, building up that strength, building up that fortitude. So when it does collapse, we stand strong. And we're going to be that mouthpiece that they come to. All right? Let's read.
Come on. Is that the one? Trust in Adonai with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding.
Hold on.
They were stoned, sawed in two, murdered by the sword. They went about clothed in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated.
So, once again, this journey, this process, being a part of this kingdom, it's not always pleasant. But the reality is, it's worth it. It's worth it. Because we know in the end, we win. No one said there's not going to be sacrifices in the process. And some of us are going to have to sacrifice with our life. But in the end, we win. Yeah. All right? Conclusion. All right. So what does the Spirit want us to trust in? So if we walk away today, we know these things for sure that the Spirit wants us to trust in. What is the first thing? The Father's will. The Father's will is the first thing that he wants us to walk away with today, making sure we're trusting in. What's the second thing? Our training. All right? So a lot of us has been through the DIT process. A lot of us been through the servant process, the teaching process. All of that is your training. Why? Why do I train like that? Because when wartime comes, I'm not thinking. You know, I'm just reacting out of my nature. So when you're trained in something, you don't have to think about it. Because understand this, when you're out there on the battlefield, any kind of combat or competition, and you're thinking, you're slow. When if you have to think about something, you're a step slower. And in this time, we can't be slow. We have to be going, hitting that word. When that enemy comes and when that person comes with that false lie, you can't call Brother Jeff. What did that one say again, Brother Jeff? What's that scripture? What you used to say? No. Our training should have prepared us to be able to combat those untruths. And that's what the training comes in. And what's the last one? So the first one is my Father's what?
Will.
The second one is what?
Training.
And the third one is what?
Teammates.
My teammates. Once again, my teammates. I have to have that trust in his will. I have to have that trust in my training, and I have to have that trust in my teammates. Because we all know no one can do this alone. And the task that we have coming up, no one is going to do it without a teammate. And not just a teammate, a dedicated, committed, trustworthy teammate. And not just that. So if I expect my dedicated, trustworthy teammate, if I expect that from them, I have to be that person myself. I have to be, what do I bring to the team? All right, my word says, and a time is coming where everything we know as we know today, religion and the current world order, it's going to crash. And if we lack trust in any one of those areas, we won't survive. You won't survive without the Father's will. You won't survive without training. And you won't survive without your teammates. All right? So what are we going to need for these times? We're going to need strength to reach the finish line. All right, let's read the last one. One before last.
This one right here?
Yeah, that one.
All right. Trust in Adonai with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Then he will level your paths. Don't be conceited about your own wisdom, but fear Adonai and turn from evil. This will bring health to your body and give strength to your bones.
All right, so I'm saying we're on a path. We're on a journey. We're on a path to that end times, right? Amen. And if we don't have trust, we're going to create our own what? Here at WOC, we know we can create lifelines. And that lifeline can lead you away from what your father has, or your father's will has called you to be. So even when you don't understand, trust the will, trust the training, trust your teammates. All right? So ask yourself this question. Do my actions reflect my proclamation? All right? If not, well, remember this. The power of our proclamations must manifest itself in our actions through our sanctified nature, our renewed HEAD. All right? So ask yourself, once again, do my actions reflect my proclamation? Because if not, then I need to do something about it today. All right, so I'm going to ask this question again. Will the real believers, disciples and servants, please stand up? Let's go with the last scripture.
The righteous will see and be awestruck. They will jeer at him, saying, "This fellow would not make God his refuge, but trusted in his own great wealth, relying on his evil plots."
Well, that ain't it. Y'all, I didn't put the wrong one up there.
Nobody trusts you.
Bottom line is, we must trust. All right. Trust, and your actions must reflect his will. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now, we thank you for this time.